6,000 tanks and self-propelled guns. In 1941, it took 8 months to produce a Liberty ship. Within 2 years, industrialist Henry Kaiser's shipyards cut that to 14 days. This was the first time previously male-only jobs were open to women who worked in aircraft plants and shipyards. Hence the term Rose the Riveter. Women participated in many areas in this war. Members of the WACS, WAVES, and other organizations, they contributed to the war effort. In an unusual move for this day and age, members of the WASP and the Women's Auxiliary Ferry Squadron flew planes from the States to delivery locations, mostly in England. In 1941, Roosevelt issued an executive order banning discrimination on the basis of race in the defense industry. The Fair Employment Practices Commission was established. School children were patriotic and followed the war news. They collected paper, tin foil, rubber iron, tin cans for the war effort. They worked on scrap drives, as well as participating in air raid drills at school. They saved their pennies and bought war bonds. 1941 also saw the establishment by the government of the Office of Price and Administration, or OPA. Its job was to oversee the marketplace so that goods in short supply could be rationed equitably. Ration boards were set up. Food, gasoline, and tires were rationed. Butter was especially precious. A civil defense force was established with aircraft observation posts along both coasts. To increase available food supply, Americans were encouraged to plant victory gardens. War bonds were sold to raise money for the war effort. A 5% surcharge, called a victory tax, was added to each wage earner's federal income tax. Some of the popular songs of the day were Deep in the Heart of Texas, Jingle, Jangle, Jingle, White Christmas, Don't Get Around Much Anymore, You'd Be So Nice to Come Home To. America's most popular band leader in this era of the big bands was Glenn Miller. He was killed in the service of his country on a flight from England to France. The war touched Alaska with the attack on Dutch Harbor on June 3, 1942. Alaskans died as a result of this attack. Inhabitants of Attu and Kiska fell into enemy hands 3 days later and were held captive in Japan until the end of World War II. On April 12, 1945, Americans were stunned to learn of President Roosevelt's death. It was as if a family member had died. His passing left a huge void. Less than a month later, on May 8, 1945, almost 50 years to this date, Germany officially surrendered, ending the war in Europe. 3 months later, on the other side of the world, Japan surrendered on August the 14th, 1945, after newly installed President Truman ordered the dropping of atomic bombs. 3 years, 8 months, and 7 days after the attack on Pearl Harbor, the war was over. America had met and overcome its greatest challenge of this century, or perhaps ever. Madam Speaker, I commend this resolution to you and this body. It honors the men and women who served in the armed forces of the United States during World War II, and all those men and women and children who did their part on the home front. Thank you.
Representative James.
Madam Speaker, I just have to rise and thank the representative from Eagle River for that presentation. It brought everything back home to me. I was 15 years old when this happened in 1945, and I remember it all very well. Thank you.
Representative Ogun.
Madam Speaker, I just appreciate that eloquent metaphor by the representative from Eagle River, and what I want to know is what kind of trains were they using back then?
Mr. Majority Leader.
Just a question for information, and I also wanted to know, how did Wrangell Island play into all this?
Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. To answer the question from the member from District 15, I would only add that a resolution is the appropriate way for the legislature to express its will and its wishes. And to answer the question from the other member at District 15, it was a Russian prison camp.
Are you ready for the question? The question being, shall the House adopt Senate Concurrent Resolution Number 18? Members, please proceed to vote. Clerk, please lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Clerk, please tally the board.
38 yeas, 0 nays.
And so Senate Concurrent Resolution 18 has passed the House. The clerk, please read the next item on today's calendar.
There are citations on today's calendar.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Madam Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent the citations on today's calendar be approved.
Without objection, the citations are adopted. Would the pages please remove Representative Toohey's glass from them? This brings us down the calendar to unfinished business. House, briefly stand at ease.
Whoa.
We're under unfinished business. Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent to members go into the limbo file in order that we may consider committee substitute for House Bill Number 237, Judiciary Amended, an act relating to filings, medical evaluations, confidential information, third-party immunity death benefits, benefit computation, and penalties for fraudulent acts related to workers' compensation insurance. Madam Speaker, the Senate Judiciary Committee made three substantive changes to House Bill 237. First, on page 6, section 8, lines 11 through 12, the Senate version removed the language, and the employer liable for compensation has knowledge of the dual employment before the injury. This change requires employers' workers' compensation to cover the losses to an employee for other employment, even if the employer has no knowledge of the other employment. Second, the Senate version added a new section from page 8, line 26, to page 9, line 8, that would remove workers on remote job sites from workers' compensation coverage when activities occur outside of the fixed work hours of the employee, except for employer-required or supplied travel and employer-sanctioned activities at employer-provided facilities. The last change moved the effective date of the change to death benefits from July 1, 1995 to January 1, 1996. Madam Speaker, I have checked with the sponsor of this bill. He does not concur with the changes made by the Senate to committee substitutes. The Senate committee substitute to committee substitute for House Bill 237, Judiciary Amendment. And with that, Madam Speaker, I move the House concur. I'm sorry, Madam Speaker. I move that the House concur in Senate committee substitute for committee substitute for House Bill Number 237, Judiciary Amended, thus adopting Senate committee substitute for committee substitute for House Bill Number 237, Judiciary. Effective date failed Senate, and I urge the members to vote no.
Without objection, we are in the limbo file. The motion before us is to concur in the amendments, Senate amendments to House Bill 237. Is there debate? Representative Brown.
Thank you. Madam Speaker, I was not clear from the brief explanation there what these changes do. Could somebody just amplify what the Majority Leader explained?
Mr. Majority Leader.
Madam Speaker, I would be glad to defer to the sponsor of the bill, but the first change changes the wording that an employer remove the language, and the employer liable for compensation has knowledge of the dual employment for the injury. This change requires an employer workers' compensation coverage to cover the losses of an employee that may incur on another job. And the sponsor can correct me if that's not correct. But that was put in there for people who had more than one job, that only the employer on the job they were injured would be responsible. Second, there was a change defining remote job sites and injuries that might occur to a person in off-duty hours at the remote job sites. The new section that would added would remove workers on remote job sites from workers' compensation coverage for activities outside of the work hours. And third, had a change in the effective date clause of death benefits.
Representative Finkelstein.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I too, am going to vote no. I just wanted to bring to the members' attention there are at least one other change in the treatment of seasonal and temporary workers. It's on page 6, line 21, 22. That whole section has been changed significantly as well, so the majority leader might want to double-check on what the changes are on this. Thank you.
Further debate? You ready for the question? The question being, shall the House concur in the Senate Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute House Bill 237? Members, please proceed to vote. Clerk, please lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Clerk, please tally the board.
4 yeas, 34 nays.
And so the House fails to concur in the Senate amendments. The conferee committee will be Representative Cott, Representative Porter, and Representative Bryce. Further unfinished business, Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I have no other unfinished business.
Do we have committee announcements? Representative Hanley.
Madam Speaker, the House Finance Committee will meet this afternoon. Try and meet at 1:30, and we are going to take testimony on the RIP bill, if you want to call it that, the retirement incentive program that came over from the Senate. We are not going to pass the bill out today, but we are going to take testimony and some of the discussion on the bill so members can get up to speed on that. So we will be meeting at 1:30 today.
Further committee announcements? Representative Terrio.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. The House Finance Subcommittee dealing with the university deferred maintenance and university dormitory projects will meet after the Finance Committee. Thank you.
Further committee announcements? Representative Toohey.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. The House HES will be meeting at 4 o'clock this afternoon to take up House Bill 119, exempt schools from certain DEC funds.
I think she glared at you. She winked at you. Further committee announcements? House, briefly stand at ease, Representative Porter. Without objection, we'll go back up the calendar to unfinished business. Representative Porter.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. First, I would like to move and ask unanimous consent that I be allowed to waive from Committee SB 53, the not ominous, but omnibus insurance bill. Our committee heard it last year. It was, and I heard it in Labor and Commerce. I've checked with the committee members, and they have no objection to that waiver.
Without objection, that bill is waived from Judiciary.
Second, Madam Speaker, I would move and ask unanimous consent that I also be allowed to waive SB 172, eliminating Monte Carlo night. The Judiciary Committee heard and passed yesterday the identical House bill, but because of scheduling 24-hour notice, could not schedule that bill, but it is identical, and we passed it from committee yesterday.
All right, Madam Speaker, does that bill have another committee referral?
I do not believe it, at this time, has another committee of referral.
We can have one in rules. We have it in rules.
Rules committee,
rules,
yes,
committee. Right. Is there objection to the Judiciary Committee waiving that bill? Without objection, that bill is waived. Oh, you do? We can have a Rules Committee meeting. House stand at ease. Mr. Minority Leader. Jerry. House, briefly stand at ease. House, come back to order. Representative Porter.
To Madam Speaker, under the category of where there's a will, there's a way, I would like to announce that rescind my motion to request a waiver of SB 172 and announce that the Judiciary Committee will be meeting at 1:02 tomorrow to hear SB 172.
Thank you, Representative Porter. Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Under unfinished business, I move and ask unanimous consent that Representative Bundy be excused from the call of the House tomorrow.
Without objection, Representative Bundy will be excused from the call of the House tomorrow. Further unfinished business? Briefly stand at ease. Back to order, Mr. Minority Leader.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I'd like to point out that Kyle in the Taylor Gallery, it's his birthday today. Can I revert up to announcements or introduction to guests?
Without objection.
Okay, it's Kyle's birthday today. He works for the House Majority and has been very helpful in working with the Minority and Majority with our bills and everything. It's his birthday, and I'd like to wish him a happy birthday if we all can do that.
Brings us back down the calendar to committee announcements. Are there further committee announcements? Further general announcements? This brings us to special orders. Mr. Majority Leader.
Madam Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent. The House stand adjourned until noon, Sunday, May the 7th.
We are adjourned until noon tomorrow.